The thumbs up for the recording. All right, I want you to open your Bibles this morning to Ephesians 3:20. We're in the second to last week of our series of Infinitely More. And today's message is entitled, Meet the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 3 says, Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more, or infinitely more, depending on what version you're reading, more than all we ask or can imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. We've spent now 5 weeks talking about the journey that Christ took us on through his birth, his life, the cross, beyond the cross to the tomb, the resurrection. We've seen how he wants us to be a participant. We have seen how there are certain things that Jesus said, I will do. I want to remind you, if I can remember exactly how to quote this, I didn't write it down again. Trying to remember how I worded this last week. Some of you may have it written down. You can never do what only God can do. And God will never do what he's called you to do. Aren't you glad we do not serve a God who wound it all up like an alarm clock, tossed it out here in the middle of the cosmos and says, I'll see you in a few thousand years. Good luck. But neither do we serve a God who micromanages and treats us all like puppets on a string. Nor do we serve a God who says, you just sit there and watch me. I'm going to do it all for you. No, he allows us to participate. Yeah, but the way in which we are best able and the way he has provided for us to participate in this grand overall scheme of things is when he left. Well, let's just go to John 16:7. This is what he told the disciples. He says, but I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor, or some versions say the comforter, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, some of you will see the title this morning of Meet the Holy Spirit. Some of you sitting there saying, Pastor, I've known about the Holy Spirit for a long time, but I'm going to tell you, I don't care how long you have been part of a church where the Holy Spirit is emphasized, it's easy to begin to take him for granted. It's easy to shove him into the corner of the background. If the Trinity were a business partnership, we might say that it seems like the Holy Spirit is the silent partner. The Father and the Son are the ones that get all the publicity. They're the ones that get talked about. But yet we're going to find today that there are certain things that the Father and the Son have given to the Holy Spirit as his task, as to use a business term, his portfolio, if you will, that are so vital and important to us, especially if we want to have a life of immeasurably and infinitely more than we could ever imagine. You'll notice in John 16:7, the first thing I want to remind us of is that the Holy Spirit is a person, just like the Father, just like the Son. He is not an it. I want you to imagine this morning, let's just say all of a sudden I got this strong craving for a chocolate candy bar. I mean, like I just had to have it right now. I couldn't even get through the sermon without it. And I was to ask Andres, look, would you please run down to Love's and get me a chocolate candy bar? Now, how would Andres feel as he was going down the stairs if I looked at all of you and said, don't worry about it, it'll be back in a moment? How would you feel? Not too good, would you? Why is he calling me an it? Well, can I tell you, when we fail to recognize the Holy Spirit as being a person the same as the Father and the Son, we grieve him. We dishonor him. We disrespect him. Never get caught into the thinking of the Holy Spirit as anything less than the Father or the Son. He is God as much as they are. He is of the same essence that they are. He is a him, not an it. So let's look briefly at just a few things that the Holy Spirit has done, is doing, and will continue to do in our lives. I will tell you, yesterday, as I started trying to finalize this message, and I began to just look through a listing of everywhere in the Word that the Holy Spirit has talked about and mentioned, it was difficult to bring this list down to just these few items, because I'd say, well, that needs to be on the list. Then I'd look at another scripture, I'd say, well, that's good too. And then another scripture, well, that... I finally, after much time of prayer, meditation, and thinking, narrowed it down to just these few items. But this is in no way a complete list, not even close. Here's one of the first things I want you to remember about the Holy Spirit. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Even before the Father and the Son began to do the things that we find on the first 6 days of creation and began to speak it all into existence, the Holy Spirit was already there, hovering over the chaos, preparing to do his part in the act of creation. I think it was Wednesday night in Bible study, the idea was brought up of how, which we've talked about before in this church many times, how the fact that when God created everything there in the beginning, do you realize he created it all by the power of his word? He created it all out of nothing. The only thing that we read about that it does not say he spoke into existence was us. He formed us out of the dust of the earth. But you go through that chapter 1 of Genesis, it says, and God said, and it was so. And God said, and it was good. And God said, and it was good. Let me tell you something. Every time God the Father willed a certain thing, the Son spoke it and the Spirit performed it. So understand, the Holy Spirit didn't just show up one day. He is as much a part of God as the Father and the Son. He has been eternal into the past and he will be eternal into the future. No beginning, no end. He's not a Johnny come lately part of the Godhead. He's as much of it as Father and Son. He was there in the very beginning. He participated in the creative act. I just wonder sometimes how much more rested we would all feel if we would take time each day to step outside and look at the creation and think about the love and the power that there is behind it from our good Father, from Jesus Christ, the Son, our Lord and Savior, and from the wonderful Holy Spirit. Oh, we might be better off. I don't do this very often. I need to do it more often myself. A couple of days ago, I was trying to do some reading, and I decided I needed to just go sit on the back deck at the parsonage and sit outside for a little bit to read and just enjoy the cool breeze. It wasn't blowing hard. It wasn't too hot or too cold. It was just right. And actually, I found myself, I didn't get as much reading done as I wanted to because I got more caught up in just enjoying what God's hand has put there for us. The Holy Spirit was part of that. Then we go to John chapter 14, verses 15 through 19. The slide says 18. I'm sorry, it is 18. John 14, verses 15 through 18. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, some versions say comforter, to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. If you are a note taker, you might want, or you underline things in your Bible, however you do that, where he says to them, he will give you another counselor. You might want to make this note. That word another comes from a Greek word that means another of the exact same kind. Not another of a different kind. And how many of you know that? Let me ask this. How many of you think that you or someone in your family makes the absolute best enchiladas you've ever had? Let me see your hand. Okay. All right. Now, I've grown up in this state. I've eaten enchiladas that cover the gamut from incredible melt in your mouth to give me more milk so I can choke them down. I know a pastor friend of mine that went back east and was taken to a restaurant where they tried to pass this off as enchiladas. A corn tortilla rolled up with Cheese Whiz squeezed in the middle and some spicy ketchup and onions on top. Yeah, that doesn't even make it, does it? You see, those were enchiladas of another kind, but different. Not from the same family. You see, Jesus was telling his disciples, I have been here comforting you. I have been present in your life all this time. I have been your counselor. I have been the one you've leaned on. But when I go, I'm going to ask the Father to send you another one to comfort and counsel you, but he will be exactly the same kind that I am. See, we don't need to battle. I've heard people want to argue about, well, who do I pray to? Father, Son, or Holy Spirit? The answer is yes. Yeah. Who do I lean upon? Who am I? Yes, because they're all the same. Remember, they are the three in one. They make up the one Godhead, but three persons. They're all just as important. Jesus says, look, when the Holy Spirit comes, yes, he has a different name. He will have some different jobs, but he's exactly like me. Unfortunately, in the last 2,000 years, there have been some that have tried to shove the Holy Spirit off to the side. I think one of the problems we have is in some of the older English versions, he was called the Holy Ghost, and that word ghost has scared some people. Don't let it. Just because he's called Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit doesn't mean he's some spooky, misty, something floating out there. He's as much a person as the Father and the Son. Well, let's look here a minute at what Jesus says here in John 14. What can we find out? Well, first of all, he's a counselor or a comforter. What does a counselor and a comforter do? Well, very simply, they give advice and they bring comfort and ease. They help to ease your mind. They bring peace of mind to you. I believe that every Christian needs to be calling out for the Spirit to bring them comfort and counsel every day of our lives, because in all honesty, without it, we can do very little. It's positive. In verse 17, Jesus says he is the Spirit of truth. I think he's the very, I wrote this down on my notes here. He's the very essence of truth. You know, when Jesus stood before Pilate, Pilate asked Jesus, he says, what is truth? Friends, do you realize that people today are wanting to know what is truth and they're looking in all the wrong places? How many, let me ask you a question. How many of you are country music fans? It's nothing to be ashamed of. What? Country music fans. Okay? How many remember a song years ago came out that said, looking for love in all the wrong places? Well, let me just tell you something. There are a lot of people today, and some of them are even sitting in our churches, they are looking for truth in all the wrong places. Truth will not be found in politics. Now, I didn't say every politician's a liar. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying in politics in general is not where real truth will be found. Real truth will not be found in the alcohol bottle. Real truth will not be found in the drugs. Real truth will not be found in illicit affairs and sexual escapades. Real truth will be found only one place, and that is in the Word of God and with the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The thing we have to guard against so many times is it's easy for us to sit inside the four walls of our church building like we are this morning and say amen to that. But the real test of it is how do we live when we get outside these walls and we're faced with difficult circumstances? Well, I will tell you, It becomes easier to accept that counsel. It becomes easier to accept that comfort. It becomes easier to live in the essence of that truth when we understand two more things that Jesus says in this passage about the Holy Spirit. Number one, he says he will live with you. He will live with you. He will dwell with you. He will dwell within the confines or the building, if you will, or the house of your life. He will live with you. But I like the next thing because that's more intimate. Not only does he want to live with you, he wants to live in you. In you. I believe that phrase that he wants to live in you speaks to the most intimate of relationships that we can possibly experience. That word counselor and comforter comes from the Greek word paraclete. It means the one who walks alongside, and I've illustrated that for this congregation on several occasions. But can I tell you, the Holy Spirit wants to do more than just walk alongside of you. He wants to dwell within you. He wants to take up residence within you. All through the Word of God, from the Old Testament all the way through, there has always been this concept of God wanting to find a way, or God providing a way to show us that he wants to tabernacle with us, to dwell with us, and to dwell in us. Friends, we've got to understand, no matter what we are going through in life, God is not out there somewhere. As a matter of fact, and some of you have probably used it, I've used it on occasion, but I'll have to be very blunt with you, I don't like this phrase. I don't like the phrase, the man upstairs, when we talk about God. He's not the man upstairs. He's the Father, he's the Son, he's the Holy Spirit who's right here. He's not off in another room somewhere hiding out. He's right there. And the only reason why he has not taken up residence within your life is because you have not opened the door and invited him in. He will not kick in the door. He waits to be invited in. The next thing we see is Luke 12:12. Jesus says this, "For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say." Now let me just tell you the context of that. Jesus told the disciples, and he tells us, he says, there's going to become a day when they're going to bring you up before the leadership of the synagogue. That's the religious leaders. He said, you're going to be taken before governors and kings. That's political leaders. And he says, they're going to call you before them and put you on trial. He says, don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't have a prepared script. See, if the Holy Spirit is living with you and living in you, he said, you don't have to have a prepared script. The Holy Spirit will teach you what you will need to say at that time. I also will tell you that the Holy Spirit will teach you the Word of God in a way that you can never do on your own. Now, I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit works to do that through several things. Number one, the Holy Spirit anoints men and women that have written some incredible books to help us understand the Word of God. That's why I have a library like I do. I love to read. I love to gain insight. As a matter of fact, this last week, we lost a man that I learned, I'm still learning so much from through his books and his podcast, and that is Ravi Zacharias. Great minister, great apologist. God anoints teachers and pastors and preachers and evangelists to help us and to open our eyes to what the Word of God says. But can I tell you that every time, and I love this, when I'm teaching a class, when I'm up here preaching, I love it when I see the little light bulb go on over your head. When you suddenly get, when you get something, you're like, oh, now I get it. I can see that. Some of you, I hear the grinding of the wheels squeakily warming up before I see the light bulb, but I love it when the Holy Spirit just illuminates the Word of God to us. When he suddenly gets through that thick skull of ours, through that gray matter where we're fighting him sometimes, and suddenly we get it. I'm sure if you talk to your daughter, the teacher, and we've got two teachers here, it's the same way. When you see that a student suddenly gets it, oh, it makes all the nonsense worth it. Can I tell you, I believe the Holy Spirit rejoices every time one of us gets it. When we allow ourselves to be open to His teaching, and suddenly something in the Word of God suddenly becomes clear that we never understood before. Going into Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 25. Some of you are going to say, wait a minute, that sounds familiar. You're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. No, I'm not. Not much. There's something else in that passage that is very important. Galatians 5, beginning of verse 19, Paul writes, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. Boy, we could spend a couple hours just on that list, but we won't. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Here we go. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, one of His jobs is to lead us every day. Everything we do, we ought to recognize that if we want to live in obedience to Christ and His Word, the best way to do that is to let the Holy Spirit take the lead. To walk in step with. I forget. Any of you here ever been military? Did you love marching? Did they drill you quite a bit, though, so that you were always what? In step. I've got some band people here. Did you ever get them in a parade this year to be in step? For the most part? I got a couple of you back there. You were at Eastern New Mexico University's band. You both are former members of Pride at NMSU. Did they drill you how to march in step? Yeah. I know, I'm bringing up nightmarish thoughts, right? There is something really beautiful. I'll describe it now. To watch a military unit or a large band when they're marching in step. Because no matter what angle you look at it, it's all perfectly choreographed. They're all together in step. Friend, I want to ask you a question today that you need to answer. Are you striving to walk in step with the Holy Spirit every day? He's the paraclete, the one that comes to walk alongside. The problem is, a lot of us, He comes alongside to start the day with us, and we start walking our walk wanting Him to walk in step with us, and we wonder why we trip and fall. No. Holy Spirit, thank you for being here today. Do everything you're supposed to do, and you take the lead, and I will walk in step with you. You see, that's why the slide says the Holy Spirit leads us. But we get in trouble when we want to try to lead the Holy Spirit. And we do. Oftentimes, we need to listen to our prayers. There's too many times, it's way too often, that we do not ask God what His will is. We tell God what our desire is and ask Him to bless it. If we want to make it through these end times and be victorious and be successful according to God's plans. Stop asking God to bless your desires and start asking God to line you up with His desires. And you do that by letting the Holy Spirit lead and keeping in step with Him every day. Let's go back to where we started, to Ephesians chapter 3 this morning, but we're going to extend. No, go forward. Go forward. Right there. I confused my tech people on that one. We go back to Ephesians chapter 3. But we don't look at just verse 20 here as we conclude. We back up to verse 14. I want you to see that all three members of the Trinity are involved in giving us this life of infinitely more. Paul says, for this reason, I kneel before the... Louder? Father. From whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray out of His glorious riches that He may strengthen you with power through... What? His Spirit. In your inner being. So that who? Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You want this abundantly more life? Then you stop trying to tell God how to work in your life. Stop telling God which part of the Trinity can work in your life, because the reality of it is they work together and in conjunction no matter what. But let's not be guilty of putting the Holy Spirit down on some lower level. Let's not shove the Holy Spirit over in the corner. Let's not have the wrong concept of who He is. He is God. And He is the one that the Father and Son sent back when Jesus was ascended back to glory. The Holy Spirit's the one that He sent to carry on the day-to-day activities with us. As we participate in the great plan and the great will of God, it is the Holy Spirit that is there dwelling in us, with us, leading us, guiding us, teaching us, counseling us, comforting us. May we never forget. May we never shove Him to the side. Because when we do, that puts us in opposition to God's plan. Oh, today, may our prayer be, Heavenly Father, blessed Son and Savior, sweet Holy Spirit, put into my life everything that You have for me, and may it be infinitely and immeasurably more and than I could ever imagine. I don't know about you, but that really needs to be my prayer every day. It needs to be your prayer every day. Why? Because it's a mean, nasty, wicked old world out there. And the only way we're going to survive it and make it is when we allow God, the Trinity, God, to give us everything He has for us each and every day. Amen? I want you to stand with me if that's your prayer. I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. You see, somewhere along the way, it's unfortunate, a lot of churches and Christians kind of dismiss the Holy Spirit from their vocabulary. On the other end of the spectrum, some of our Pentecostal churches, like ours, have gone so far that they've tried to elevate the Holy Spirit above the Father and the Son. And that's just as wrong. I have a relative that attended a seminary many years ago. And every time new students would come into that seminary, and he would go to his church and the people he was hanging around with and that he was allowing to mentor and pour into his life, they would always ask him things like, well, are they Pentecostal? Are they charismatic? Are they baptized in the Holy Spirit? Do they speak in tongues? He said, I don't know. All I know is they're a brother or sister in Christ. Next week is Pentecost Sunday. We're going to talk about our Pentecostal distinctive in the Assemblies of God and churches like ours. But I'm going to tell you, our number one, listen to me, our number one task as the body of Christ is to get people into the kingdom of God and get them saved. What I'm going to talk to you about next week as we talk about Pentecost is I'm going to tell you, show you what God's plan is and how he provides us the power and the ability to do that. But we're going to keep it in perspective. Some have gone so far one way, they never talk about the Holy Spirit. Some have gone so far the other way, they only want to talk about nothing but the Holy Spirit. And both extremes are just that, they're extremes. Today our prayer is, oh Lord, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, may each of you work in my life and do what your task is. Do what it is that you have to do for me, in me, and through me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that you loved us so much that you sent the Son. Jesus Christ, dear Son of God, our Lord and Savior, we thank you so much that you loved us enough that you temporarily limited your deity to walk among us and be one of us and to take our place upon the cross. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you, in conjunction with the Father and the Son, have come to dwell beside us, with us, among us, and to carry out the task that the Father and the Son have given you to do in our lives. Lord, today our prayer is that we would be open to allow the entire Trinity, the entire Godhead, to work in our lives as you see fit. And Lord God, that we will stop trying to tell you how to do it, but we will be open to everything that is of you. Dear Lord, as we leave this building and as we go about our day today, when people see us, may they see you being present in our lives in all ways. And may we give you praise and glory and honor in all things. And everyone said, amen and amen. God bless you. Keep the baccalaureate service in prayer this afternoon.